1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Race for the White House. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Kamala Harris has become an apparent Democratic front runner. ABC News chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce.
The vice president's leading potential rivals for the nomination falling in line behind her. From Governor Gretchen Whitmer of battleground Michigan.
Today I am fired up to endorse Kamala Harris for president of the United States.
To Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky.
The vice president is smart and strong, which will make her a good president. But she's also kind and has empathy, which can make her a great president.
To Governor Josh Shapiro of must-win Pennsylvania.
Sources telling ABC News, VP Harris has been working the phones, reaching out to Democrats across the country, calling Harris a million times worse than President Biden, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican vice presidential nominee at a rally in his hometown, Middletown, Ohio. This is ABC News. Los Angeles County Superior Court was closed today after a ransomware attack shut down the court's computer system late last week. Officials at the country's largest trial court says they disabled their network when they discovered the cyber attack early Friday. The attack is not believed to be connected to the faulty CrowdStrike software update that disrupted computers around the world. It's getting cheaper to fill up the tank.
In recent weeks, gas prices have been relatively stable, plus or minus a penny or two or three every week, and it continues. The Energy Department reporting in the past week the average price of regular unleaded went down 3 cents to $3.47 a gallon, 13 cents cheaper than a year ago at this time. The cheapest gas right now is along the Gulf Coast at $3.05 a gallon. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Smoke from more than 850 wildfires in Canada drifting into the Rockies, expected to push east later on this week. Smoke already setting off air quality alerts. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970. A high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ellis Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin enthusiastically endorsed Kamala Harris on Monday, now that she's the frontrunner for the Democratic ticket. Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, said Harris is the candidate best positioned to defeat Donald Trump.
Vice President Harris is a powerhouse debater and communicator, and we've seen that all the way through her political career. She's able to bring a spotlight to the essential issues and draw the essential contrast that will ensure that we can win this election.
Wickler described Biden's resignation as a reset that gives Democrats the upper hand in the upcoming election. Wisconsin was ranked first in the nation for hourly earnings growth in February, March, and May, and second in the nation in April. Just last month, Wisconsin reached record high employment numbers. Governor Tony Evers said Monday that Wisconsinites are clearly working hard as the economy continues to show positive growth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers open training camp without Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held their first practice of training camp today, but with Jordan Love watching, not participating. What's the status of his contract talks with the team? Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
I think it was Saturday night. You know, they kind of informed us that until we get something done that he would not practice. So unless something gets done here pretty soon, he will not be practicing. This is something we're all working on, and we certainly understand where he's coming from. We'd like him to be out there. But as of now, until we get that resolved, you know, he will not be practicing.
Baseball. The Brewers at Wrigley Field will open a three-game series tonight against the Cubs. Craig Counsell not happy with a reporter's question about Christopher Morel.
Looked like he was swinging for the leg there. I don't know. What do you think about some of those?
Come on, Jesse. Come on. That's your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about...
I think that's a bad take.
Why?
That's a bad take. He's swinging for the lake. That's a bad take.
Why is that? Why is that a bad
take? He's having a good at-bat trying to hit the ball hard. It didn't work. The pitcher made a good pitch. He made an out.
That's Craig Counsell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered storms, some with heavy rainfall, muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, still a few storms, highs near 80. A little cooler and definitely less humid as we look through the rest of the week. High temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 78.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devil's Advocates. We got Kamala Harris in Milwaukee, the presumptive Democratic nominee. Devil's Advocates. This is history.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kudigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, a lot going on, Haley. And I just so happened to have, I don't know if you can see this, but it's a Kamala.
Hey.
A Kamala Harris doll here that we've had for a while here since she's been vice president.
Oh, wow. And, cool.
Yeah. You know, she wins and you might get that for Christmas.
Ooh, I mean, I wouldn't be upset about that. That's so funny. Gaga used to give me Native American Barbie dolls whenever those would come out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them, though.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, not really, but yeah.
They have ribbon skirts and all that.
No.
I just got the Barbie doll from Mankiller that came out just recently. One of the first Native American leaders, like presidents of her tribe, and she was forced to be reckoned with. And what a great thing Mattel did by putting a Barbie of her out just recently.
Yeah, that one was really cool. I remember that. Big weekend, lots of stuff going on. What did you do this weekend? Did you do anything fun?
Let's see. What did we do, Wendy, this weekend?
Clean your house?
No, I should be finishing up cleaning my house. I don't know. We just kind of hung out.
Okay. That's chill.
We were talking about doing a few things.
You went to Awamni.
Yeah, we went to Awamni's third year anniversary, which was really cool. Sean Sherman, the sous chef, he had his 3-year party going on, and then shortly after that, and then on Sunday, I think Wendy and I were just chilling out, and then I saw on the news pop up that Joe Biden was out of the race, and then shortly thereafter he supported his vice president as the next president. So at first it was a little shocking in a good way, and a lot of things were going through our minds here in our house. But what happened was in 24 hours or less than 24 hours she had $50 million brought to her and support, and so that tells us a lot. And it was funny, I listened to TikTok when I go for my walk, and last night it was all but positive things that I saw on TikTok were really uplifting to hear and listen.
Likewise. Yeah, I think this was a really smart move on President Joe Biden's part. I think, you know, kind of sacrificing himself for his country and stepping aside, getting some young leader in here and a great woman like Kamala, I think, is great for this role. And I think it just shows, too, like Donald Trump, he sacrifices his country for himself. And Joe Biden sacrificed himself for the country. So I think, you know, it's pretty real.
Well, is that how you feel as a young person? That's a really good, you know, I think it's gotten a lot of people fired up.
Yeah,
in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. I think, you know, I will be honest. I voted uncommitted for Joe Biden in the earlier election. Just, you know, everything going on with funding a genocide, I think us as Native Americans know a little bit too well of that history. And that made it hard for me. But, you know, I'm fully with her. I am with Kamala Harris, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And as you know, I'll be at the DNC for at least a few of the days.
That's right.
And yeah. I like what Angela, our friend Angela Vig from Vig Qatar, says there. Can you imagine finally saying Madam President? And
yes.
We did have soon to be Madam President's husband on our show. And now I think it'll probably be harder to get him on.
Oh, yeah. Doug Emhoff, I believe. Yeah. First gentleman or yes. Second gentleman. Yeah,
definitely.
Well, speaking of guitars, I was very lucky enough to attend the first ever Minnesota Yacht Club Music Festival.
Yeah,
right here in the great city of St. Paul over the weekend. That took place on Friday and Saturday. And this is a really cool fact I wanted to bring up and share today on Native Roots Radio. So Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, the classic party grunge band from the 90s, the front man and lead vocalist Anthony Kiedis is Mohican by way of his grandmother. And he actually grew up mostly in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah. Angie here knew that. She says, yeah, as well. So the primary Mohican reservation is in Wisconsin, where most of the original Mohican people's descendants live currently. And there are roughly 1,500 tribal members today in Stockbridge Munsee Mohican tribe, and the reservation includes 40,000 acres. Our Ho-Chunk sister, Arvina Martin, she has Stockbridge Munsee blood in her family, too. Some people I know have mistaken the Red Hot Chili Peppers front man as Haida because of his large back tattoo of that Haida Thunderbird. And in 2007, he actually interviewed with People, and he said that his Native American heritage helped inspire the name of his daughter, Everly Bear.
Wasn't that cool? Heck?
I know.
That's amazing. I did not know that. And here I thought you were going to say Flea was Native American.
No, I made sure I got the name right.
This yeah. Time. Hey,
I was like, I knew one of them is, but I didn't know.
Did he play his trumpet? Because I know he's...
did there was a lot of stuff going on.
Flea played trumpet. I mean, he has a good sound, but it was, you know, nothing accomplished. But I've seen some live videos of him playing trumpet, and I'm going, oh my god.
Sure. Yeah, I know he definitely sang a song on his own. It was pretty cool. He talked about like women's rights. Alanis Morissette was one of the headliner, and she had all these women's rights and statistics up on the big screen as she was performing. It was really cool. And then I also learned this. So Chad Smith, who is the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, the one who looks just like Will Ferrell. I don't know. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. They've had a drum off on one of those late night shows. It was pretty funny. They're both dressed up the same way.
I did see that. That was funny. Yeah. Did you know he grew up in Richfield, and he was born in St. Paul?
What?
Yeah, that's what he said at the end of the concert.
I can't believe this. This is crazy. That's a Native American lead singer and now the drummer for the band who's brought up in Richfield. Jeez.
Yeah, from Minnesota.
I feel proud to be a Minnesotan, Wendy.
Yes, as you should be.
True, Wendy. Wendy's from New York.
Yes. Yes, she is.
I just read on once a statistic that they were ranking the states where is it the best place to raise your children? And Minnesota was like in the top five.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, Wendy, now that we got you on, we're going to have Dr. Stately on in the next segment. But now that we got you on and situated here, you look very nice, by the way.
Thank you. I still have to plug in my power, but I'm good. I have enough power for now.
Well, hey, I know we got a minute here until break. I want to quickly shout out the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis. Today, they're hosting a women gathering in good intention at 7 p.m. MIWRC will be providing a space and meal for Native women in our community seeking connection to each other. Those that wish to be together to have a space of belonging and support for your journey to yourself, this space is for you. There'll be food, visits, and a full moon ceremony. You just need to show up. So I look forward to seeing you there tonight at 7 p.m. That address is 2300 15th Avenue South, Minneapolis.
Wow. There you go, Haley. Good read there. Great work that they do. And we always are happy to have Ruth Buffalo on Tuesdays, the CEO and of that great organization.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, hey, up next, we got Dr. Stately, Wendy, Haley, and I, and we're going to be firing up on the new president that's going to come out here. Ho-wa! You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Dr. Stefano Sinacropi, an orthopedic spine surgeon and wellness evangelist, hosting the brand new Recharging the Human Battery show on AM 950 Radio. My co-host Mandy Dickey and I will delve into various health topics, ranging from medicine to nutrition to exercise, emerging technologies, and yes, some way out there stuff. We'll provide a balanced view of today's landscape, helping listeners navigate its complexities and hoping to change the way you think about your health. Recharging the Human Battery airs Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our special guest, Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I feel like, Wendy, it's a kind of a reunion show here. We all are on for the first time in a really long time.
Well, I haven't been on for a long time with Dr. Stately, so this is great.
Look at Wendy's already Dr. Stately. Look at the
I can see that. She's got a Kamala Harris.
It's an action figure.
Action figure? Oh, okay. It's like, nice.
Yeah. Cool. Look at the arm.
Like
moves.
To shake your hand.
Nice.
Exactly.
Is she so left-handed? You know?
Looks like
it. I don't know if she is in real life.
It looks
or not.
Like it. Well, Dr. Stately, we got the governor, lieutenant governor of this great state of Minnesota endorsing Kalama, and we're waiting for your endorsement now.
Oh, really? Do I get to endorse? Yeah. I think that she is the right candidate for sure. I mean, she is a strong leader. I think it would be quite remarkable and quite amazing to have first African-American female president. Like, what an amazing accomplishment. I had to do my little thing where I, you know, they send me, I don't know, but if, how you are, but like, I seem to get a text message every 25 minutes or so asking me for money for the campaign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I've answered them actually with like not clicking that little thing that they tell you, like, click here to.
Yeah.
So I send them back a text message and say, I already gave you money. I gave you lots of money yesterday. I gave you money earlier in the week, and, you know, stop asking me for money. And they still don't do it. So, but yeah. I'm like, I'm already signed up for monthly contributions. Leave me alone. But I did my little poll, you know, they send you a little poll, like, should Kamala be there? And I was like, of course, like, she's like, I just think it's, anyway, the whole last couple of weeks of the entire political landscape have been like theater. Just, I mean, you know, you can't, like, this is like a Shakespearean play set in modern day times. Like, you cannot make it more like, you know, just, you know, filled with, pregnant with drama and, you know, just, you know, anyway, it's just really interesting to me. And like, there was a moment this weekend where I just had to shut off the radio because I could not listen to, you know, the radio station we don't talk about on the air. That one, I just was like, I cannot listen to this anymore. I'm like, I'm going to lose my mind. I need a moment of peace where I'm not listening about the orange one in his ear and, you know, a few other things. And I just, like, I don't have the bandwidth anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of those people that they talk about already, that's kind of like made up their mind. There's really nothing that's going to shift me away from, like, being, you know, a Democratic supporter. I think, you know, I'm one of those people that has actually, like, sat down and read through, not the entire 2025 plan, but I've read through a lot of it, you know, the high level things, and it's frightening and scary what they're talking about, you know. And it's like, and I was listening to NPR the other day, and they're like, you know, they were talking about, you know, it was right after the whole thing where Joe Biden, President Biden, had like announced he was going to, drop out of the campaign, which I think was a good choice, you know, on his behalf. I think the challenge that I had with things in the weeks leading up to that is like all of the pressure he was under by his own sort of party to sort of drop out. It's like,
and mass media, you know, the mass media was,
and mass media is just like, terrible. Yeah, I think it was really the mass media that sort of kind of pressured that. But I think the other thing is just like, you know, it is, you know, I mean, it is time for us to listen to, like, the, you know, quote unquote, the masses, you know, the majority of the people in the United States, not me, but majority of them are purportedly not happy with either candidate. So, you know, I think he did the responsible thing. Like, if I'm not that well liked, and I'm not likely to be able to carry the ball all the way to the finish line, I have to drop out and give it to somebody who can get us there. And she's a strong candidate. She's got a really strong record of doing some really amazing things as a senator, you know, and as an AG, I think, before that, you know. And she's done some, you know, she's done some things. They're gonna get dirty though here soon, I think, if they haven't already started to, right, the Republicans.
Oh yeah,
as they are wont to do, right? So they're going to do all kinds of things. And, you know, I happen to think that the only thing more frightening and scary than Donald Trump is JD Vance, right? Because Donald Trump is really only 3 years older than Biden, or 3 years younger than Biden, and
younger.
He's not necessarily going to make it all the way to the end of his presidency either. I don't think there's any, you know, any. Guarantee that he would make it necessarily all 4 years. And if JD Vance became president, that would be like a horrible thing. That man is like a train wreck. He's like, you know, he's first of all, he has no backbone. He bows to just about anybody who's going to give him attention.
right?
You know, which is like Trump, but anyway, but you know, at least Trump has a, he's older, he has a little bit of wisdom, not a lot, but a little bit more. JD Vance is just a big, huge swathmouth making, you know, spouting off, you know, his ridiculous ideology.
Well, if mainstream media doesn't start talking about Trump's age, you know, being 78, the orange one, then we already know that it's been slanted here. I mean, we talk about this over the years, Wendy, and the 30-year attack on Hillary Clinton by the mainstream media that's supposed to be liberal, which I don't believe.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, you know, present company excluded. Or, you know, maybe not excluded, you're put into a parking lot for a brief moment as we talk about this. So the media's job is to create sensation and to create and to manufacture interest in the things that they're talking about, right?
Clicks.
They don't make their money off the news, they make their money off of commercials. That's how and they clicks. Make their money.
Yep. Right.
And clicking, yeah, right. Lots of clicking, like, ooh, click, 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 you know. That's how they make their money. And so how do you do that? You get salacious and you get really, like, you know, kind of like, you know, you stretch, sometimes bend the truth a little bit to kind of make that happen in some ways. you know, I was a journalism student when I was in undergrad at McAllister. I know a little bit about, you know, journalism was different in the 1980s when I was in college. So things are really much different now. So I think that that's part of it, is that, you know, they're doing what they're doing, which is trying to survive by spinning things out of control and, you know, whipping them up and making them sound more problematic and salacious than they actually are. You know, no one's talking about, you know, all of the, you know, the conspiracy theories that Trump planning his own, you know, attempted assassination.
I know.
I had multiple relatives tell me, like, oh, that poor guy who had to give his life as the shooter because he was only 20 years old and he's kind of stupid. And they said, you know, these are all the narratives you're hearing out there. Like, people are like, oh, just nick my ear. And then, like, they fail to tell him they're going to shoot him, like, right after he does it. I mean, there's these crazy, crazy stories. People are just nuts, I think, I swear to God. So I'm more concerned about the fact that we will have an intelligent electorate electing a president. I sure hope, like, you know, people, half of them forget that it's the day to vote and they vote on, like, Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
Yeah, I've seen those conspiracy theories, and well, it's the police.
The memes, by the way, are great. The memes are wonderful. They are just pure entertainment. Pure entertainment.
Well, he was walking around for a half hour, you know, with binoculars, figuring out how far the shot was, and going up on the building, and people were just going, yeah, "Keep an eye on him. Maybe we'll have to shoot him later."
Yeah, like, oh, you know, is he, like, you know. Yeah, I think he might have went like this to check the wind before he did it. Like, you know. Anyway, it's like, and he didn't he have like a sharpshooter gun or something like that too? It's like, anyway, yeah. The whole thing just is like ridiculous. It's like, and then, like, you know, the whole conversation around the whole entire thing is just like, I got to the point, I think, around just about Sunday morning NPR, listening to, like, Waiting for a Wait, Don't Tell Me, which got you know, what is it called? Preempted. Yeah. My most favorite thing to listen to on NPR. Because, you know, it's just entertaining. But the problem with it was, like, I was just like, okay, I've had enough. I've had the course. I can't do this anymore. And it's not going to shift and change anything about, like, how I feel. I know the man is crazy. He's already tried to, you know, try to overthrow the government one time already.
Right.
He's, you know,
wanted his vice president murdered. Yeah. He wanted his first vice president murdered. So good luck, JD.
Yeah, it's like, good luck, JD. It's like, you know, he's willing to blow his own ear off and do a few other things. Like, you know, this man.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is a special report from ABC News, Race for the White House. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Kamala Harris has become an apparent Democratic front runner. ABC News chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce.
The vice president's leading potential rivals for the nomination falling in line behind her. From Governor Gretchen Whitmer of battleground Michigan.
Today, I am fired up to endorse Kamala Harris for president of the United States.
To Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky.
The vice president is smart and strong, which will make her a good president. But she's also kind and has empathy, which can make her a great president.
To Governor Josh Shapiro of must-win Pennsylvania.
Sources telling ABC News, VP Harris has been working the phones, reaching out to Democrats across the country, calling Harris a million times worse than President Biden, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican vice presidential nominee at a rally in his hometown, Middletown, Ohio. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will be the Democratic Party's presumptive nominee when she comes to Milwaukee Tuesday. On Monday, she praised President Biden, who dropped out of the race Sunday.
Every day, our President Joe Biden fights for the American people, and we are deeply, deeply grateful for his service to our nation.
That's Harris speaking at the White House. Wildfires are raging in western Canada again this summer, sending smoke back to Wisconsin. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, smoke is widespread in the Midwest and Great Lakes area, but the smoke is hanging thousands of feet in the air. Air quality warnings in Wisconsin could change over the next few days as the smoke lowers. Ongoing fires in Canada are expected to grow over the next week as hot, dry conditions persist. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Brendan Fraser likes Ike and will portray him in a new film called Pressure. The film tells the story of the D-Day invasion where troops storm the beaches at Normandy. The Oscar-winning actor portrays the Supreme Allied Commander Eisenhower. Variety reports that Ripley star Andrew Scott will portray Britain's chief meteorological officer, James Stagg. Stagg informed Eisenhower of weather conditions that were crucial to the Normandy invasion. The project is in the early stages of pre-production. The Simpsons have done it again. The New York Post reports that in an episode from the year 2000 called Bart to the Future, Lisa Simpson becomes the first female president of the United States. In the episode, she is wearing the exact same outfit that Kamala Harris wore during the 2021 inauguration, right down to the pearl necklace and earrings. Simpsons writer Al Jean posted a picture of Lisa next to Harris in their matching outfits. Let's see if life will imitate art. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered storms, some with heavy rainfall, muggy with a low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, still a few storms, highs near 80. A little cooler and definitely less humid as we look through the rest of the week. High temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s and mostly sunny. Right now it's 78 degrees.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we talk about repurposing churches. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. How about you, Wendy? We love that Steve's Dark Blend.
Barely awake.
She needs some of that coffee.
I do. What do we get, Robert? The double X, triple X.
Yeah, Steve's triple Dark X. Blend. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really dark.
I think the darkest the blend, so the lighter the blend, the stronger the coffee. Even though I like the taste.
I don't know
anything. More caffeine that's in it.
Oh.
I think it depends on what you define as strength.
Oh. Okay. Call in and tell us what strength is at 952. No, I'm just kidding. So, Dr. Stately, we are here excited to talk.
I'm going through all the vetting of the vice presidents who are running me.
Well, you know, what would be interesting, too, is I heard a report this morning, but it's just wishful thinking on my part. But I would have loved to have Uncle Bernie join in on this.
He's older than Biden, isn't he?
He sounds a lot more
age range.
He sounds a lot more coherent.
You know,
but
I think the other thing. So one of the things that really kind of bothers me about this national narrative that we're hearing now, and especially the stuff that the Republicans are saying, like, you know, this whole like, and Tom Embert, what a fool this man. I mean, he's from Minnesota, but what a fool. Like, you know, yeah, he has to like, you know, open up his mouth and say something. So I'll say something back to him. Like the idea that like Biden should immediately leave office because he's incompetent, quote unquote, is like just a ridiculous thing, right? So first of all, like, you know, I don't know, Tom, does Tom have one job or two jobs? As a senator, he's a paid politician, right? He doesn't have to do anything else, right?
Right.
I think. But as somebody who has actually two jobs, I'm a president and an executive officer, and I have a couple other jobs that I do. It's like, you know, I'm going to forget a thing or two because I'm really, really busy. I have a million things that I'm on top of, right? It doesn't mean that I'm senile or I'm having early dementia or any of those things. And actually, he made an excellent choice. He's had COVID now, I think, the second or third time in 2 years. Because, you know, like a president is supposed to, he's traveling around the world, meeting with foreign leaders all over the place and doing all kinds of things. And, you know, you're going to catch COVID a few times if you travel around the world, I would imagine. Where's Tom Armour traveling to? Probably not a whole lot of places outside of whatever district he represents here in Minnesota. But the point being is that, you know, these people are speaking of stuff that they don't know anything about. Like, until you are actually in the role, like, you really don't know what the hell you're talking about, actually.
Well, I know, you know, Tom Emmer's kind of famous.
It's frustrating to me.
Well, he's famous for, and a lot of Republicans in this state are famous for, voting against stuff, and then when it passed and the area loves it and there's a big ceremony and he takes credit for it even though he voted against
it. He gets around, you know, he has a little parade and he talks about, like, you know, when it's time for re-election time, he talks about all the things that he didn't vote for that were really popular and did really well in his district, and he takes credit for them.
Right.
I don't know that Tom Emmert has actually passed anything meaningful actually within the last, I don't know how many years he's been in office. I haven't seen his name attached to anything that's really meaningful.
I think you can say that for every Republican. They're just against things. They're not.
Yeah, they're just against things. They're not really for anything, except there seemed a lot of them seem to be for 2025, Project 2025, which I think is a really important thing for us to talk about. But and I think we can probably spend the next several months talking about that because it's really an important thing. I've been posting like links to Project 2025 on my Facebook page. Haven't really done it on LinkedIn yet because I kind of try to say that just for professional stuff. And I think one of the things that I would say is, like, if you are a Native person living anywhere along Turtle Island that is part of the contiguous 48 or even like in Hawaii or Alaska, you should be reading about the Project 2025 and you should know about the agenda that the Republican Party and specifically the Heritage Fund and our Heritage Group, and then also specifically what Trump has planned. These people are not friends of Native people. What they want to do is they want to undo sovereignty. They want to kill it, right? Because what happens as soon as sovereignty goes away?
Exactly.
You know, the everlasting Indian problem goes away as well. And then there's also, and all the responsibilities of, that go with the treaties that have heretofore not have been ever successfully implemented either. And, you know, Trump is not a lover of Native people. Like, you know, casinos has, you know, tanked his business, you know, across Turtle Island and especially along the eastern seaboard. And he is not happy about that. And there's all kinds of reasons why a lot of Native people should not like him, should not be voting for him. Like, is, you know, I hear people say this to me all the time. Like, I like Trump. Like, I don't dislike him or like him. He's a dangerous man with a dangerous agenda, right? And I would say that the thing is that, like, he is specifically, thanks for the message here, Jessica. So let's just talk about what he's likely to do to public health. He's going to decimate public health and a bunch of other resources that the United States and the American people depend upon. I run a federally qualified healthcare center. There's about 17,000 of them across the United States. We are the safety nets of the healthcare system within the entire United States system. We're the primary care provider to almost 30 to 40% of the United States public. He, when he stepped into his role in 2016 as the new president, it was about the same time I was stepping into my role as the president or the CEO of NAC. And the first thing I faced in his administration was his failure and his unwillingness to renew federal funding for FQHCs or for community health centers across the United States. He kept kicking it down the line and would not get behind endorsing funding community health centers, which is, you know, the primary provider of healthcare services to the poor, right? And there are a number of other things. So he is going to, like, you know, one of the things I think that's really important is, like, we played a really important role within responding to the pandemic, right? The people who were the most vulnerable and the most likely to die and the most likely to get sick and get in and end up in the hospital, end up dying from COVID, are the people that we were serving. And we were doing that work at the tail end of his administration with one hand tied behind our back and a blindfold on, because he also had no leadership. He wasn't taking any leadership in that entire process. So if it wasn't for the Biden administration and the Harris administration, we'd be in a different boat here.
Yep.
Had we not had that leader really helping to right the ship in that specific situation. So
not to mention his
one of the things
killed a million people in the United States.
Yeah.
And he was denying COVID, period.
Yeah. Right. And remember, like, he was saying things publicly, like, you know, encouraging people to do things like, you know, try things that were not tested and true. Right. You know,
bleach.
Like, you know, telling people to drink bleach, for God's sake. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Can I say that?
I think that'll beep
hit
that
the bleep button. Sorry. Well, you know, why would they bleep that? He's an actual person that most people worship. So why would they bleep it? except after you. Never mind. Sorry. My apologies to those of you who are very religious. I respect your religiousness. I apologize for saying that. But I think the other thing I would say is, like, I looked at the list of people that they're vetting for her potential running mates, you know, and our governor's on that list, on that short list. Governor, you know. Wolf. Yeah. Governor Tim.
Wow.
Yeah. Governor Walls, which I think would be amazing, because if he were to be elected if he were to be her running mate and they got elected, wouldn't it mean he'd have to give up his governorship? And wouldn't it mean that the lieutenant governor would ascend?
Yep, it definitely would. And then we're good friends of hers, so I would be, like, that close.
Well, I mean, you know, exactly. Like, you know, maybe we'd get invited to the ball, but you know, boy. But more importantly, she's an indigenous woman. She'd be the first indigenous governor in the United States ever, which is amazing, right? Would be completely amazing. And then on top of that as well is just the idea of, like, you know, she is an amazingly talented young woman who has done some amazing things in her short lifetime. She's much younger than I am, I think. She's like probably 20 years younger than me. or maybe 15, who knows, but I know she's younger than me. I consider myself her elder.
Yeah.
But I think the point is that she has done some amazing things in her lifetime. And she has done some amazing things, not just for tribal communities here in Minnesota, but she's done some amazing things for all communities in Minnesota, which because she has a real strong equity lens and she understands what equity means. Equity doesn't mean everybody gets some. Equity means like people who have historically and for generations been under-resourced and disenfranchised and left out of the support of our government and its resources to improve their lives, that they should get a little bit more attention than they've gotten in the past. Mm-hmm. She understands those things. And, and she says this, she has said these things to me directly. She says, yes, I make sure I take care of our relatives, but from an Indigenous sense, everybody is our relative. And she also says, like, I'm the Lieutenant Governor for all of Minnesota, not just the Native people.
That's good.
And I think that's a hard pill for some of our relatives to swallow sometimes. We want her in there, duking it out on line 3 and those kinds of things. And that's not her job. Her job is to set policy and to do a few other things, right?
So, right. Duking it out with line 3. Hey, that's us. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's our job to go duke it out with line 3.
Exactly. That's great. Well, whatever happens here, we really... I don't know, Wendy. I'm excited.
I think Walz is awesome. I think he's done an amazing job in Minnesota and has been a great governor. I'm just afraid that a lot of people out there in the United States really don't know who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has a lot of, national exposure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could get it quick and then people could get to know him, but I'm not sure everybody knows if we were in Iowa and we said Governor Walz, would the people of Iowa say, oh yeah, that's the governor?
They would know. They would know who he is, but I don't think anybody else. But here's the other thing is like, I think Gavin Newsom would be great. He's a great leader. I think Ralph Warner would be great. Would be great. I think some of the other Governor Gretchen Whitmer would be amazing, right? So
Gavin's got too seedy of a background.
Well, right, also Kalama could not appoint Gavin because
you know who else has a seedy background here, Mr. Pilot.
Yes, what?
Yeah.
Oh,
if we're gonna sling mud, let's be fair here.
Jeez, you read my memoir here. Jeez.
Talk about a CD's past.
Yes, that's what he was alluding to. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for coming on, man, and really great talking to you. Sure. We're excited again. We're re-energized here on Native Roots Radio.
I think it'll be really exciting. I mean, change has got to come. Period.
That's right. Right on. Thanks. Have a great week and a great seeing you. And thanks for stopping in as usual.
You woman.
Right on. Native Roots Radio. Up next, Wendy in our sacred animal section. Ho-wah.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Greg Bakken here. Like you, I love good, fresh, delicious food. So I want to tell you about this treasure in Roseville called Maverick's Real Roast Beef. Maverick's has the best roast beef sandwiches I've ever had, made fresh every order. Add fries or onion rings dropped in the fryer when ordered, and you have a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef has a lot more than roast beef, so check out their website, mavericksbeef.com, or check out their restaurant on Lexington in Roseville.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Wow, that was the best howl we've had in a long time, Wendy.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, and she votes Democrat, and she talks about our sacred animals, and I learned so much from Wendy, and great to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here on a Monday. It's an unusual day for me. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. As many as most of you know, Robert and I live very close to the Mississippi River here in St. Paul, and oftentimes we see predator birds in our and around our backyard. So it's not unusual for us to go out there sometime and see, an eagle flying around or a hawk on our fence, you know, waiting for a little chippy to show up. But I found this article, which I gave me a lot of information that I don't know. And it says here, can hawks, owls, and other, this is from Georgia birds lift and carry away small dogs. And here's what to know. And this is an article, from GPB. So it's for Georgia, July 17th, 2024. And this is written by Sunday Rose. So it may sound far-fetched to believe your pet could be carried off by a larger bird, but it can and does happen. In fact, Georgia is home to the main culprits when it comes to pet abductions.
Whoa.
Yeah. Robert and I were walking our dogs one day, our two chihuahuas, Mickey and Pancho, down on Cleveland Avenue right here in McRoveland, St. Paul, when all of a sudden, I swear this happened, we saw an eagle flying pretty low above our heads. And when we were like, wow, what is that eagle doing so low? All of a sudden, it came down and swooped down and grabbed a poor little squirrel that was trying to cross the street and flew away with the squirrel. I could not believe my eyes.
It's still trauma and for you to bring that up. That was
crazy. It was crazy. So there are several species of hawks, owls, and eagles that are common to the area and can carry up to half to two-thirds their body weight. This means pets smaller than 12 pounds are in the most danger.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
I couldn't believe that. Yes, that means pets smaller than 12 pounds are in most. Wanda, our little dog Wanda, is, 9.8. Both her and I just gained some weight recently. So she might be up to 10 pounds right now. But I know Wanda, I told Wanda, mommy and you have to go on a diet. But we really, because we were away.
You eat healthy, though.
And we were eating and we were kind of lazy. And I hurt my back, so I didn't get to exercise. But anyway, although most pets are too large for the birds to actually carry off, it doesn't stop them from trying. Right. And the threat is real, but highly unlikely. And there are precautions that pet parents can take to limit the risk. Now, I don't know if this is going to be on the list or not, but a friend of mine who lived out can't remember where she lived, but anyway, her little dog, she had vests that when they went out had spikes on them.
What?
Yeah, she would put the dogs out in the backyard. Danielle.
Danielle from up in Lindstrom?
She wasn't in Lindstrom.
Chisago?
Chicago. Yeah, she Chisago. Lived on a big piece of property. And when she let her dogs out, she used to have little vests on them that had spikes so that the predator birds couldn't come down and get them. But here it is. Create a protected outdoor area using netting or install covered enclosures.
Oh, my God.
Right? Prune your trees, branches near your pet's favorite area. This discourages birds from perching nearby. Don't leave pet food outside and remove bird feeders. Uh-oh, we have a bird feeder outside. Clear your yard of debris to discourage other critters from congregating. If the bird can't get to that mouse, it will get to your pet.
I got to interrupt you. We lost Haley because of a storm, and look how dark it is out now.
Wow.
She lost power.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like
crazy.
Midnight right now. But if we end up losing everyone... We're going to go down to the basement.
Oh, wow.
And we still have those trees.
So I have this app. I think everybody should get this app. I'm going to tell you about this app. It's a free app.
Oh, my
app.
God. Look how red it
Listen,
is.
Listen, it's called Rain Aware. Rain Aware. It's a free app. You go on it, and what it does is you have to have your locator on, of course. So it gets your latitude and longitude, and it knows your exact spot where you are. I just got an update on my phone right near severe weather, St. Paul, severe sun. Thunderstorm warning till 6:30 p.m.
Wow.
And it tells you, this will tell you, it's going to be raining.
Storm now, starting any minute, it says.
For those of you who can watch us on Facebook, it has a color coding. So light rain is like light blue, blue. Heavier rain is green, green, green. And then it goes, you know, yellow, orange is more heavy. Red is very bad. And then there's fuchsia.
Ooh, I just heard thunder.
I've only seen it once on fuchsia. And
Haley's
tells
still
you,
alive. Look at she made
oh, good,
it back.
That's good. So it'll tell you how long the rain will last. It updates every like minute, so you know right to the minute wherever you are. Rain Aware. Put it on your phone. It's gotten me out of getting soaked on dog walks and so on and so forth.
Haley, are you still alive out there? And
I am. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, we lost power. Power came back on, but our Wi-Fi is still out. So I just hopped on from my phone here.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's crazy.
Well, we'll duck. Yeah. It was about 5 minutes. We'll take that out of your pay.
Right. I know. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know it was supposed to rain tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so dark here. And the wind. Look at the wind. It's crazy out here in St. Paul.
It's really
bad. It's dark.
As soon as the show's over, we're going to the basement. I just have a feeling Wendy's got a clean space down there now.
I do. You know, the last storm we had, I went down there underneath our steps and I cleaned it all out and I put two chairs.
Micah
and
wanted to throw away those chairs. So I said, no.
That's our storm. That's where we sit when a storm comes. Yeah, so it's really bad. So other things that you can do with your pets to help them not get picked up by raptors, these birds of prey, consider a raptor shield or spiked vest for your pet. It is on the list. It is on the list. I wasn't even sure this was
like
on the list. Yes. And then beware of nesting
right,
season. And this really, this article is specific to Georgia. And I don't know why. Maybe they have bigger eagles and owls and raptors there than we do here in St. Paul. But we did see that squirrel lifted up and taken away. So just keep your pet safe. I do check outside when we're out with Wanda and our other dogs. I have in the past, and I've always worried. I never let them outside without them being supervised.
Hey, with the last 10 seconds, tell people about the storm here. Give us an update quick on that iPhone of yours. And I just want to say before you jump,
you're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back in Green Bay on the home court, where I welcome host of the podcast Mob and Mafia News, Robert Dennis, and author Linda Cruz joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.